Hello, this is the Daily Tech and Tech Show, to more tech news with you. Now you stop saying it so quickly because I keep on nearly fading it. That took me 3 attempts then. Anyway, yeah. We're into the next episode every single day. I don't know why I felt the need to say that. Oh well, right. Okay, so if you do go on to enjoy today's episode, then please do consider subscribing. So that'll be able to see all the latest tech news by me. Of course, that's if you're on YouTube. If you're on anything like Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and there are more. Then you should be able to click the follow or heart button, and that way you'll also be able to see the latest tech news by me. Anyway, before we get into it, all the articles that I do talk about will be linked in the description. If you want to go and read them yourself, then you can. I do think if you want to, you should. So that's why I link them. And yeah, so let's get right into it. So first article is by Financial Times. Huawei develops plan for chip plant to help beat US sanctions. So obviously right now Huawei are banned from a lot of things. They're banned, they were obviously banned from the US, which is where they get a lot of their parts and stuff. While they have been given permission for like cameras and screens, they haven't been given permission to get their chipsets, which they do have enough of right now, but they still won't have enough. And they need to find a way to make them or hopefully get them back. So if they're going to get a chip plant, then they should be able to continue in the smartphone and like tablet business. So Huawei is working on plans for a dedicated chip plant in Shanghai that would not use American technology, enabling it to secure supply through its core telecom infrastructure business, despite US sanctions, and maybe that's more what's on about. So two people briefed on the project said the plant would be run by a partner at Shanghai IC R&D Center, a chip research company backed by the Shanghai municipal government. Industry experts say that the project could help Huawei, which has no experience in fabricating chips, chart a path to long-term survival, which they currently can't do. So US export controls imposed in May and tightened in August leverage American companies' dominance of chip manufacturing equipment and chip design to block semiconductor supplies to Huawei. So industry experts on the said the planned local facility would be a potential new source for semiconductors after stocks of imported chips. Huawei has been accumulating since last year ran out. The fabrication plant will initially experiment with making low-end 45 nanometer chips, a technology global leaders in chip making started using 15 years ago. So very old technology, but they've got to start somewhere. But Huawei wants to make more advanced 28 nanometer chips by the end of next year, according to the chip industry engineers and executives familiar with the project. Such a plan would allow Huawei to make smart TVs and other Internet of Things devices, like obviously smart TVs. Huawei then aims to produce 20 nanometer chipsets by 2022, which could be used to make most of its 5G telecoms equipment and allow business to continue even with the US sanctions, which is obviously what they're going to be aiming for. The planned new production line will not help with the smartphone business since chipsets needed for smartphones need to be produced at a more advanced technology node, like we were seeing the 5 nanometer, stuff like that, said a semiconductor industry expert, executive even, briefed on the plans. But if it succeeds, then it will become a bridge for a sustainable future for their infrastructure business in combination with the inventory that they have built and which should last for 2 years or so. They can possibly do it in maybe 2 years, said Mark Lee, a semiconductor analyst at the Bernstein in Hong Kong. He added, while the chips Huawei needed for making mobile network base stations would ideally be made on the 40 nanometer or more advanced process technology, using 28 nanometers was possible, and it would continue them to be able to do business. Huawei can make up for shortcomings on the software and system side, he said. Chinese producers could tolerate higher costs and operational inefficiencies than the offshore competitors. So yeah, so far Huawei might actually be able to survive, which I think would be really good. Huawei, whether or not they're spying is really, we've got no evidence to either. I personally don't, I'm not sure to be honest, I really don't know. But they make good phones, so it is a bit of a shame that those would have to stop eventually. But hopefully one day they can get back into it. Assuming they ever stop, maybe they've got enough for them to continue. But I think right now they want to continue doing their telecom business, which is their main part, and I think that's what they're focusing on right now. think once they can do that, I think once they can get their own chips that are quite good in process nodes, then they should be fine. But it could be a while, like 5 years, to get the good ones. Let's just agree to this website taking my data. This article's by Lab Bible. So Xiaomi beats Apple to become the world's third biggest smartphone brand. So Xiaomi has managed to beat Apple to become the world's third biggest smartphone brand, with Samsung and Huawei taking the top two spots. Which is interesting, Huawei being in the top spots between, obviously, I think Samsung are a bit ahead of them. It's quite interesting, it does go to show how popular their phones were. I mean, they do the premium phones, which are right quite good. You know, you've got the Mate 30, Mate 20, which is one you could probably buy in the US. I think it was the Mate 20 you could get in the US. But, of course, in the UK, you could get the Mate 30 as well, I do believe. But, and the Mate 40, I'm not sure about that one. Of course, it's quite new, I haven't really looked. But, anyway, it goes to show they made the mid-range and they made the low-end. And I think that was a really good thing that helped them get to that top spot. So according to the International Data Corporation, which released its new report on smartphone shipments for the third quarter of 2020, Chinese company Xiaomi has surpassed Apple to become the third largest smartphone brand globally, for market share of 13.1% and 46.5 million shipments. So the tech company saw a growth of 42% with Gizmo China, reporting this is mainly due to an increased demand for low-end and mid-range smartphones. Particularly in developing countries such as India, where obviously they may not be able to get the whole premium thing. So obviously, Xiaomi do budget phones, they're quite good. So Huawei ranked second in the report with shipments of 51.9 million units and 14.7% of the worldwide market. And South Korean giant Samsung came out on top with 22.7%, which is quite a high number, like 6%, 8% more. Which is quite a lot, having shipped 80.4 million units during quarter three, including a 2.9% growth for the company year on year. Apple, meanwhile, trails behind in fourth position with 11.8% market share and shipments of 41.6 million units, followed up by Vivo with 8.9% market share and shipping 31.5 million units. So the IDC report also revealed that the third quarter of the year also saw a decline in smartphone shipments by 1.3% year on year for around 353.6 million smartphone shipments between July and September, which is a decrease. I think it's interesting how we've seen a decrease, and that's still a lot of shipments to be fair, that's a lot of phones. But I think it's interesting that we see a decrease, and I think that's happening in a lot of technology. When technology, of course, like back right now, you can still use like a 10-year-old computer. Well, most, quite a lot of 10-year-old computers, quite well. You can get like a Dell Optiplex and maybe add a few old, but make it a bit more modern. And it works absolutely fine for like a web browsing and maybe like basic games such as like Minecraft and Roblox machine. Where, and like just watching YouTube, stuff like that. Whereas if you were back 10 years ago, if you had to buy like a computer from 2000, it was 2010, you probably wouldn't be able to use it. Like I'm using a 9-year-old iMac. And it runs up to fine. I can record 1080p 60fps, 60Hz, while on the web browser. Whether or not it stays at 60Hz, I haven't tested. I know it does drop sometimes, but I think it's runs fine. And it works perfectly for like all the things I mentioned with the Dell Optiplex thing. And I think that's happening with all technology because like the smartphones are lasting longer. You can still use a phone from like 2013, okay, maybe you can still use it and it runs fine for general phone stuff right now, which is why it's getting, that's why upgrades take a bit longer while there'll be less year by year smartphone sales, and I think that's something happening. So yeah, also I think Apple were a bit lower in this third quarter, maybe just because their iPhones hadn't been released at that point, or they'd just been released. That could have something to do with it, but I'm not sure. Oh yeah. Next article by TechRadar. Virtual hopes dashed. Sony has no plans to make PSVR compatible with PS5 games. So the wait for the PSVR 2 just got worse. But I think this is just evidencing more that we're going to be getting a PSVR, because PSVR is very popular. And it's a very good way for people to get into VR, seeing as obviously most people will have a console, a lot of people do. And if you have a PlayStation, you just get the PSVR, and it runs really well. So, like, you know, PSVR 2, especially with the power of the PlayStation 5, would just make sense. So for the second time in 24 hours, Sony has crushed the hopes of PSVR fans, hoping for a new VR experiences on the upcoming PS5 console. After suggesting that the PSVR 2 is at least a couple of years away, which is obviously quite a wait, Sony has now confirmed that the upcoming VR releases for Hitman 3 and No Man's Sky will only be available if you buy and play the PS4 version of that game. It will not work on the PlayStation 5 version, which is interesting. So speaking with Upload VR, a Sony rep said that PSVR on the PlayStation 5 is only backwards compatible, and that we have not announced any PS5 titles for PSVR. Don't know why they're doing this for PSVR. They should really support it for longer, but I think it's something to do with maybe when they release their PSVR 2, more people will want to buy it. So Sony is currently giving away the free adapter that I did talk about in a previous episode. I think it was like 2 episodes ago. They will allow PlayStation VR use while on a PS5, but you have to play PlayStation 4 games. So we know that Hitman's free IO Interactive plans to give gamers a free PS5 upgrade if you buy the PS4 version digitally, and Hello Games recently announced the same offer for No Man's Sky. In this case, however, we wonder if developers will also offer PS5 buyers a free downgrade to PS4, saying try out the VR mode. That is possible. I assume they probably will, if they're doing it the other way around. So for the future of PlayStation VR, so Sony is allegedly hiring engineers for the PSVR 2. We recently spotted a patent that I also talked about for PSVR Move controller, so it's clear they're working on a VR successor, even if it's years away. So until the company finishes producing this new headset, it clearly doesn't want to muddy the waters and let the current PSVR owners enjoy next-gen PSVR VR experiences, not unless they've bought a new VR headset first. So it is disappointing, but I think we all knew it was going to happen, to be honest. I think it's just like Sony would do. But hopefully we get a new PSVR 2 soon, because I think VR is a very growing community, and like a very growing thing, and I think it definitely requires this. That will get loads of people into it. If you really want VR, and you don't want to use PlayStation and get an Oculus, I feel like right now the option, I really hope the market does grow for like budget VR headsets. Like, I mean, right now the only competitor you've got for a standalone VR headset is the Quest for budget use, and I think it needs to be more. So Sony are definitely helping with the kind of more budget thing, just obviously need a PlayStation and all that, but I think that's fine. So the Snapdragon 870 may be exclusive to Oppo phones on its launch. So some prior rumours have pointed to a new light variant of the current and next-gen flagship Qualcomm mobile processors in conjunction with the OEM Oppo. At that time, it was speculated that this company would be one of the many, possibly the first, to use these upper mid-tier chipsets. Now the latest tip on the subject says it's in fact the only smartphone maker to be privy to at least one of them. So it comes by a Weibo leaker, Digital Chat Station, who now asserts that Oppo is testing high-frequency version of the 865. The adaptation has apparently resulted in a clock speed of 3.2 GHz, which is probably associated with one of the most powerful core or cores in the putative processor. So the 875 is slated to surpass it nonetheless, which may have given rise to the term 870 among media outlets. However, there is no guarantee that Oppo will use this product name, and it should really have it to integrate into their unique devices, but yeah, possible to be getting that. Next article, or this article is by Notebook Check, this article is by Mac Rumors. So Apple today announced the launch of a new service program for AirPods Pro sound issues, which is designed to address the AirPods Pro units experiencing static or crackling sounds, problems with active noise cancellation, or ANC. So, faulty AirPods exhibit the following problems according to Apple. Crackling or static sounds that increase in loud environments with exercise or while talking on the phone. And active noise cancellation, not working as expected, such as a loss of bass sound or an increase in background sounds such as the street or airplane noise. So the effective AirPods were manufactured before October 2020, and those who have AirPods experiencing issues can take them at Apple or an Apple authorized service provider for service free of charge, which is always quite nice. Other sales of the AirPods Pro will be examined prior to purchase service to verify that they're eligible for the program. So AirPods Pro earbuds demonstrating the issue, left, right, or both, will be replaced. So the program applies to only the AirPods Pro and not the other AirPods models. It covers the AirPods Pro for 2 years after the first retail sale of the unit, so like when you bought it from the store. So AirPods Pro users have been complaining about these, so it's nice to see that Apple are doing something. Next up, I believe this is eBay, yeah. So these are the 10 best-selling used items on eBay, articles by Essex Live. eBay have compiled a list of its top-selling pre-loved categories, because they can. And I think, is this, which order does it go in? Is one the, like, 10th kind of thing? Or is it 10? Otherwise we'll go up. Yeah, we'll go up, because that makes sure. At 10, sound and vision, such as televisions, home speakers, and headphones, which actually surprised me, I thought it would be a bit higher. Then you have garden and patio equipment, then computers and networking, so like just computers, stuff like that. I believe that's phones as well, but I'm not sure. It might be. Sporting goods, business and office items, books, comics and magazines, antiques, cameras and photography, vehicle parts and accessories, and at number one, musical instruments. Just thought it was something to go over. Not really much to say on there apart from, yes, interesting. I think it's interesting that number one is musical instruments, but yeah. That might just be because of the price of them, to be honest. I think that kind of drags it up. But I'm not sure how it was, or if it was how many were sold or how much. But yeah. Samsung launches a device locating feature to rival Apple's iPhone Find My perk. This article is by TechRadar. So Samsung Electronics has introduced its own version of Apple's Find My feature to locate devices, though naturally it will only work with Galaxy devices. From smartphones to tablets to smartwatches to individual earbuds, nice to see it's individual as well. The feature, called SmartThings Find, locates devices using Bluetooth Low Energy, BLE, and Ultra Wideband, UWB, a Wi-Fi less tracking similar method to what Apple has been rumoured to be developing. SmartThings Find is now available on Samsung Galaxy devices globally after the service was tested by 6 million users in South Korea, the USA and the UK for about 2 months. The company said in a press statement that it's been out for a while for a lot of these countries. Sadly, old devices may not be able to run the feature it's going, which is coming to a software update for on Galaxy smartphones and tablets running Android 8. Or later. Galaxy Watch smartphones powered by the Tizen 5.5 or above, and Galaxy Buds Plus and Galaxy Buds Live wireless earbuds. After completing a quick registration process, SmartThings users can easily find their Galaxy devices from smartphones, tablets and smartwatches down to even each individual earbud. So, almost everything. So yeah, that's obviously quite good to finally have this feature. Apple have had it for a while, and I think it's a really good feature to have. I think, although I've never had to use Find My iPhone or anything like that, it's always a nice feature to have in case you do lose it, and you can in that way track it. Obviously, as long as it's running, but if you're walking somewhere or something like that, and you, I don't know, drop it on like a street, or if you're out somewhere, then at least that way you'll be able to find it. So yeah, that's obviously quite good. And finally today, an article by Express. Google Chrome finally catches up with a feature Samsung created years ago. Google Chrome is the undisputed champ when it comes to internet browser marketplace, and it didn't get to the inevitable position of having market share that mustached monopoly mascot would happy with resting on its laurels. Beside offering a super fast and reliable browser, Google Chrome has forged a name for itself by invariably being the go-to place for revolutionary new web browsing features. where others follow Google Chrome's lead. You'll often find features that debuted on the Mountain View firm's software ending up on rival browsers such as Firefox or Edge at a later date. But Google finds themselves in relatively uncharted territory, with the firm working on a new Chrome feature, which Samsung introduced years ago. Ever since 2015, when the feature first debuted on the Galaxy Note 5, Samsung devices have been capable of deploying a feature known as Long Screenshot. Oh, I didn't have this, that's interesting. As the name suggests, this functionality does what it says on the tin, taking a rolling screenshot of a long web page you have displayed on your device. As it stands, Google Chrome doesn't have a similar first-party solution, but you can get other stuff anyway, but it's nice to see it getting first-party. I think it's just nice to see. We like to see first-party stuff, it obviously is good. Obviously more reliable, all of that, generally. So yeah. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Do comment if you're still watching, do comment down below. Maybe anything you're thinking about technology. Maybe if there's something that I miss or something like that, maybe a brand. Like, because generally the way I search these things is I search up different companies, maybe different search terms like gaming, things like that. Or like Apple, just the first one I search, just because of the way I do it. If there's any other companies that I maybe do miss, do comment down below. But anyways, have a good day.